One interesting thing also is that this new job does a lot does all their open source. They do a lot of open source stuff that's on GitHub.
Hey, Matt.
Ah, Mike, you surprised me.
Oh, well, you know, I just I had a change in mind. Should we do a podcast this time?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to Hacking the Grepson. I am Mike, and I'm here almost always with Matt, except for the few exceptions when I wasn't.
Yeah.
So today is a very timely, at least for me, topic, and it may be a timely topic for other people, because people do this a lot, and what I'm beating around the bush is, I thought we would talk about job changes, because I am actually changing my job.
Gasp.
At the time of this, now, and when I say change job, I don't mean change industry or even the subsector of the industry, yeah. But I am changing, you know, who I report to and the projects I work on. But also, you know, when you change any job, whether you're changing industries or just within the industry, there's some things to talk about. There's some pros and cons to changing your job. And I thought it would be interesting to talk about it because I assume, Matt, that at some point in your life, you have changed jobs as well.
Not frequently, but yes. I'm a bit of a serial monogamist when it comes to jobs. I think I've had five jobs ever in my life, and three of those fill the last like 20 something years.
Yeah, because you changed jobs like a couple years ago. Right.
Yeah, I'll be coming after up on three years in July is I think when I started my new job.
Right, and the job before that you were at for a really long
14
time.
14 years.
Right,
and prior to that I was at a job for 6 years. So I don't tend to leave places.
You know, I don't like changing jobs. I don't really desire to change jobs. But I'm curious before. You know, I say why that is for me. Why is that true for you?
Oh, I don't like change. that's not true.
Do you fear change?
I love change. I don't like going through change. I don't like making the decision to make a change. Like changing. Okay. I think changing is great. But like there's a lot of unknowns and unknown unknowns in changing a job. And I am a very anxious human being. And it doesn't take much for me to gain a lot of inertia because of that.
I find, and this is probably to my detriment, that like I tend to treat jobs as almost like a family or a relationship. And so when, for whatever reason, I decide to change my job, it's like, you know, seceding from a family or leaving a relationship, like breaking up with a group of people.
Oh, for sure.
And that's just weird. And yeah, I try to avoid it.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, sometimes you'll get that attitude from the company as well. They'll say, you know, we're a family here. And it's rarely true, although I've been at places that felt that way. Certainly smaller companies feel that way. And then I feel bad leaving. You know, I feel like responsible for things, and I feel like I'm gonna, you know, upset people by leaving. So, but that, I think ultimately it just comes down to like, I'm scared.
Yeah, I totally get the feeling of like I'm like leaving them in the lurch somehow.
It feels like.
Especially if you've been there a long time, you have, you know, institutional knowledge. Maybe you have a couple projects that you're kind of the go-to person for, and you're just like, and usually, like, I don't think I've ever. Well, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say I've never left a job because of, you know, primarily negative feelings as opposed to a positive opportunity that I want to take.
Same.
But, you know, yeah, but I won't say that there was never a job I left because I just stopped liking it and I stopped enjoying being at that job. And so I wanted a way out. I mean, this particular job that I'm changing to is definitely more on the I got an opportunity and I couldn't say no. You know, it was just all of the things about it were too good to turn down. And so it wasn't I'm leaving a bad situation. It was just like, this is a really good situation that I have to try. But well, it still feels bad.
How did you find this good situation? Were you looking or did it find you?
I was not looking, no. And I will say that this has happened several times where a friend or a compatriot in the industry made a move to someplace and then later was like, hey, it's really cool here. You should probably come along. When I went way back in the day, there was this company I worked for that I had a friend who worked there, and they were like, hey, there's an opening. You should check it out. And this most recent one is very similar to that. And so I definitely have to be kind of, you know, nudged in that direction because I'm just looking for the stability of the job. I think having two military parents when I was growing up, both of my parents were in the Navy. And so I had that stability of that kind of job where I never worried that, like, you know, the military was going to be abolished randomly and they would be out of a job or something.
I don't think we have that concern in this country.
No. So, I mean, that was a pro of that. The con of that was having to move around all the time. But
So having a job that's stable and doesn't require you to move around seems like the best of both worlds for you.
Yes. Yes. I enjoy that. And so I think that's probably why working in the education sector has been good for me, because it has been stable and doesn't require me to move. And this new job, you know, without getting into details, is still in the education sector. So I'm sticking with that for now. But what I'd like to talk about, though, is that as a programmer, you know, mm-hmm. because lots of people change jobs, and we could get into lots of minutiae about what it means to change a job. But specifically for a programmer, developer kind of person, you know, there are pros and cons to changing jobs. And so, in your opinion, Matt, is maybe like the top things that you look forward to, even though we've been talking about the negatives of changing a job, that you look forward to in changing a job as a developer?
I don't know that I look forward to anything. No, that's not true.
okay, well, back to me then. No.
Yeah, no. I've said it before on this podcast, and I'm sure I'll say it again right now.
Capitalism is bad. Oh,
yes,
sorry.
That is. I have definitely said that. is that I like to learn things. I am happiest at a job if I both feel like I'm making an impact and I'm learning a new thing. Though that is fun for me. It's just enough of a challenge that keeps me engaged without being so overwhelming that I'm like, oh, I have no idea how to do this. Like, if there's a good learning curve that's just the right steepness, it makes me happy. I don't know. What about you? What do you look for? What gets you excited, I guess? We can talk about what we look for in jobs after. Well, what gets you excited about changing jobs?
Ever since I started programming back when I was like a teenager in the mid-90s, you know, obviously I've just been curious about how things work. And so my answer is very similar to yours in that I like to learn, even if I'm not doing it at my job. I just like to learn even in my free time. And so, you know, having a new job with new people and new projects that I've never touched, and you know, that kind of you know, it's sort of like when you start a personal project, that the first, you know, third of that is always the most exciting because it's new, you don't know where it's going, you're learning, you're brainstorming, you know, that's definitely something that's you know, cool to look forward to in a new job. It's like right now, you know, I've spent the last nearly 8 years knowing about all the projects at my old job. And now, I had a meeting with my new supervisor, and we were going over kind of like a spreadsheet of projects that they have working on. And they, you know, they're just scrolling through a spreadsheet with all these columns of, you know, acronyms of projects that I, you know, he's intimately familiar with, I'm sure, but I am like, I don't know anything about them. And you know, it's scary, but also like exciting. Like, oh, I don't know what any of these things are, but like, I'm gonna learn them, and in a few years, I will know them probably as well as my old job that I, you know, already knew about.
So I find that interesting because when I was talking about learning new things, I specifically was thinking like technologies. The part I actually actively dislike about changing jobs is having to learn new projects and acronyms and like how the company works and new people and all that. I like, ooh, I've, you know, this is not a thing I get to do at my current job. Now I'm doing a new thing. How do I do this? How do I do it well? This is cool. Mm-hmm. But like the projects themselves, very rarely, and that might just be the nature of the beast of our industry of like, projects are kind of all very samey, like at the end of the day, there's not that much difference, except that you have to come up to speed with what other people have already done incorrectly in the project before you can get started.
Interesting choice of word there.
Well, it's easy to come up to speed with the parts that they've done correctly, but it's all the weird things that people did and didn't comment or whatever. And like you spend, I always find I spend at least about a year at a new job. I mean, my so many times I've changed jobs, but about a year, like really kind of coasting is the wrong word, but doing what I'm told without questioning it for about a year while I'm trying to figure out. And then I'm like, okay, here's all the things that are broken with what you've made me do. Let me fix them. and then things get better.
Believe me, I was trying to really put a positive spin on the newness of a job because what you're saying is actually probably 51% of the reality is just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to learn all these new projects and figure out what they are. And then, but at some point I'm going to have to actually dive into the code and look at what someone else has done and figure it out. And there's like a saying that, you know, you spend way more time reading code than writing code.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I and this new job I think definitely has a lot more departments and sub departments of people working on lots of different things, and so it's kind of a huge morass of things to dive into. Whereas with my old job, which was a smaller team, fewer projects, was less stuff to learn about. So yeah, I'm definitely going to give myself a long leash on how long it takes before I feel like I should be proficient in what I'm doing.
Definitely give yourself grace when you start. I was very fortunate. The company I'm now working for, they get that there's a big learning curve coming into that ecosystem. And they're like, yeah, you're not going to be like particularly productive for like 6 to 9 months. Like they tell you that like when you're hired. I'm like, oh, okay. That actually was great because it took the pressure off. You know?
Yeah.
Knowing, and I think you said you know someone at this new job. So, like, you don't, like, so, because there's always that, like, I have to prove myself part of the job, which I personally do not like. I know people that thrive on that. They're like, look how awesome I am. Check me out. And I'm like, please don't pay attention to me. Just let me do stuff and make things better for everyone and not be paid attention to, please.
You know, I'm actually very happy to hear you say that, because yes, I have a very similar feeling. I want to ingratiate myself. I don't want to just come in and immediately make like a change to production to say like, I'm here, boys. You know, Mike's back on the menu. That was terrible. I'm gonna cut that out.
Don't you dare.
But I definitely like am trepidatious initially, and I want to just kind of you know, I don't want to upset the cart. I want to give valuable insight when it's time, when I feel like I know what I'm talking about, but I'm not, you know, it's not like they were hiring, you know, a 10X rock star. Like that wasn't the kind of job description that this kind of job this company is looking for. So I'm not going into it with that expectation. And also, I was hired alongside another person who's like starting a week after me. So I think we'll both kind of be going through that a little bit. So it's nice to know that there's at least someone else kind of, you know, going through the boot camp like I am.
As long as they're not just like super amazing and making you look bad at every turn.
Yes. Yes. And if they
I'm just
are,
trying to make you nervous at this point. I'm just like, I'm going to say all the things that could go wrong.
I will distance myself from them if that happens. So we've kind of touched on the pros, is that, you know, the newness. There's mm-hmm. new stuff. There's opportunities to learn. It's definitely not a, oh yeah, it's just another day at my job where I'm just doing the things I do. It's like,
it breaks up the routine for sure.
Yeah, I start tomorrow, like at the time of this recording, I start tomorrow, and like I have no idea what my day, let alone week, is going to be like. And that, like, you know, it's both it's exciting and terrifying at the same time. I there's a lot of people and meetings and setup and stuff and trainings that I've got to do, you know, orientation. You know, there's a lot of orientation. So I feel like it's going to be a while before I really have like a take on what this job is like compared to other jobs.
So I think you were saying we covered some of the positive points. I think the reason most people leave a job for non-negative reasons, right? Because there's plenty of those. But like, for like, okay, I want to take this new job, this new opportunity. I think a lot of times for most people that I know, the two reasons for that is money mm-hmm. and growth opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. Like a promotion or something. I have never changed a job for either of those reasons.
Really?
Have changed job. Well, I guess money a little bit when I left college to go to a real job, but that was I went to a real job, like a mm-hmm. full-time job instead of a 20-hour a week job. Mm-hmm. But that was really it was like it was. Hey, I'm going to actually be a software engineer instead of a system administrator was really the main reason mm-hmm. there. It's for me, it's the things I'm working on. Or the things the company does in the case of like what I'm actually working on at my current company, not super exciting to me. But what the company does, I dig. And so like being able to contribute to that makes me happy. But most people I know change jobs and they do it frequently to get more money or change to get promotions or whatever. You know, when you change a job, there's usually like that's your best chance of getting a reasonable pay increase. Because when mm-hmm. you stay at a job, it, you know, I got good raises at my last two jobs, like mm-hmm. no lie. But changing jobs gave me a huge bump compared to any of the raises that I had along the way. How about you? Yeah. Do those factor into your reasoning when you're?
They do, actually. So I think my kind of guiding principle on whether I was like willing to take a new job, like half a dozen times that I've done that. Is as far as the money, I just wanted to make more than I made. Like I just wanted to steadily increase my salary, and except for when I took this last job, which was actually a slight pay cut, but a huge quality of life plus. And so that was worth it. I traded the money in for the quality of life.
Always worth it.
Whereas this new job is quite a big jump in money. And like title, you know, I'm like jumping a couple title classes.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. And it's one of those things where like I think for a while now I've been pretty happy with my general status in life in terms of how much I make and where I live and the things I have. You know, like I'm not looking to climb, you know, any kind of corporate ladder or anything like that. So I would say that the money is a factor, but it's really, I don't know. it's a factor. I mean, I'm just going to say it's a factor for me.
It should be. Yeah. But like, it doesn't sound like that's your primary motivation for leaving. Whereas most of the folks I know, they'll leave jobs. They're like, this is how I get more money. It's like, I'm going to bounce jobs every 2 years, and that's going to keep me on a steady, like, increase of pay and, you know, potentially skyrocket my climbing the corporate ladder kind of thing.
Right. Well, and I think because I'm not in the private sector, I don't think that way. Whereas I know people that, yeah, the private sector is definitely more, I feel like it's more of that kind of thing. But in education, like, I'm looking for stability. I just want a job where I like the people, I like the work, and I feel like I can just kind of, not coast, but just be comfortable, you know? And that is more important to me.
I 100% agree with that. I was very fortunate that the job that I am in now not only came with a substantial pay increase to what I was making before, but also didn't come with a particular bump in responsibility. I had a lot of responsibility at my last job. I was a very much a big fish in a small pond there, and now I am very much the opposite of that. And I'm great with that. From my perspective now, I am looking to give back to the younger engineers. I have been in this industry for a couple of decades, and, you know, so I'm kind of, if the trajectory goes the way it's supposed to, I would be like at the peak, and now I'm riding my way out. You know, it's 20 years in, 20 years out is theoretically how you do it. Hoping to get out a little sooner than that. But it's like, okay, so now I am not on the cutting edge of things, but I have experience, so I should be able to give back in certain areas. And so I'm looking forward to doing that at this stage of my career while also learning new things, which is fun.
That's very cool. Yeah, I like that idea of the kind of 20 in, 20 down. I never really thought about it that way. I think I've always just thought about a job as just like, I got to have a job so I can have money, so I can live and do the things I really want to do. Like, I've never looked at my job or my career as like me, as like, it's never like it's never been, you know, one of those things that they talk about, you know, basic conversation with people. What are the questions you always ask them? And you always ask someone, oh, what do you do? And that's sort of like, who are you? Like, in this world, what is your existence summed up as? And it's generally your job, because that's what you spend a lot of time at. But I've never really identified with my job that way. And
same.
It's always, yeah. But it's not that like it bothers me, but it does. But it stands out to me as something that like slightly goes against like the conservative orthodox way that people think about other people. You know, it's I mean, I'm a programmer. I'm an artist. I'm a lover, I'm a fighter, I'm a whatever the other lines in that song are. But like what I do to pay the bills is just kind of what I do to pay the bills, which is weird that I also feel like it's a family and a breakup when I leave. Like, I feel like those things should not go together, but they do.
Well, it's your identity isn't tied into your job. But that doesn't mean but you recognize that you're spending 8 hours a day with these people. You know, that's a third of the day. You know, it's nice if you can actually bond. You know, the weird thing about being fully remote is this is the least I've ever bonded with my coworkers. But I still have good bonds with a few people, and that's good, you know. And I'm an introvert, so I don't need much.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a good point, because this new job is fully remote. Like from the start, which is the first time I've ever been at a job where it started that way. Like I've been remote at my old job, but we started in person for several years, so we all bonded that way.
And it's very different, because it's also my first time doing that, was at this job.
What would you say are the main, maybe non-obvious downsides of that?
It is difficult to form bonds with people that you don't spend insignificant time with. And I don't mean like a little amount of time. I mean time that is doing insignificant things, going to the kitchen or whatever, and like having that chat, going to lunch with your coworkers. That's where the bonding for me always happens. Whereas remote, you tend to just end up in a like business transaction kind of deal when you're talking. I make it a point to carve out little bits of social interaction in meetings. Not for my own personal enjoyment, but because I think it's a good idea. And then
it's very strategic. And the more it's very meta.
But also, if I like my coworkers, I do a better job. And in particular, because of this particular, like the way I work, where I'm doing like developer productivity and developer experience stuff. Like, I want to know the customers at that level as well, because then when someone wants something, I'm not like, got to deal with tech support or whatever. It's just like, oh, you know, my buddy needs some help. Let me go help.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different feeling.
Yeah. I was wondering on a more like technical side, just to get this back into the, like out of the general social, everybody job change, but actually for a programmer, like what, you know, when you change jobs, what kind of things in terms of like, you know, the way you code, how the repos are set up, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Like, what were the pros and cons of making the change from your old job to your new job?
So that's actually one of the areas that I dislike the learning aspect of a lot of the times is hey, you have to learn this new tool because it's how we do bug tracking or how we do this or how we do that. I try to align myself with how other people do things when I start. And then over time I will change. You know, I'm like, okay, so what IDEs do you guys use? All right. What do you, yeah. Oh, you, how do you have your Git repo? Oh, you do forks, not branches. Great. Okay. I did not say great to that. I'm very against that idea. But like, you know, oh, you're in Bitbucket and not GitHub or whatever, right? You use Perforce as your source control when I switched to my last job.
What?
Right. Painful. So I don't like that aspect of it, to be honest. But I like but the other side of it with the technical stuff is, hey, you might be doing a new programming language. I had never coded in JavaScript outside of like some very small little utility things. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing I write code in at work now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, now that you've been doing it for a while, like, do you, what have your, how have your thoughts changed on that? You still hate it?
There's a lot of assumptions in that language that I just find non-helpful. Not unhelpful, non-helpful.
Yes, like, actively not helpful.
Yeah, actively hindering helpfulness for the types of code that I write. I am a big believer in using the right language for the tool, or using the right tool for the job, rather. And that's not always possible, because sometimes it's, hey, this is what everybody knows, or, you know, the people you're working with are writing it in this, and so you need to write your utilities also in this. And it's like, okay, well, that is what it is. And then that's the right tool. It's just frustrating because I'm like, well, if I was writing this in a vacuum, I would not do it with this language because this language is not suited for this. Every single asynchronous call I make is paired with an await. I never don't do awaits for what I write because it doesn't make sense to do it the other way for the type of code I'm writing.
Yeah. Well, did you know that was how they did their programming before you took the job? Was that not a factor in choosing them?
Actually, it was a factor. I was like, oh, good. I don't know JavaScript.
Okay. This is an opportunity
for me to learn this language that everybody is using and is very popular and is somewhat ubiquitous. I should learn this thing.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I mean, yes, you should learn JavaScript if you're going to do anything that is on the internet, because it's kind of everywhere. I mean, I'm trying to remember, you know, I probably first used JavaScript like 20 years ago or something. And obviously it's changed a lot. I mean, when Node was invented, I mean, that was a paradigm shift, because it's now like, no, we're going to, you know, then, you know, I don't know who was attributed the law of, like, you know, as X goes to infinity, it will be rewritten in JavaScript or something like that, you know? But, you know, I don't know. I feel like every language has their hangups, and whatever you use the most, you both know better, but also are aware of their hangups. And so, you know, it's just like human languages. I mean, they're all kind of different. They all have their pluses and minuses depending on what you're looking for. So, you know, I went into JavaScript on my own before I ever used it in a job. And so I was all, you know, it wasn't like a switch for me. It was just, you know, I just use it all the time, and I curse the same things you probably do, and some things you don't curse. But also it's just, that's the language, and you just learn it. And, until they invent something better that is also as ubiquitous, that's the issue, is it just has, I forget what the term is, but it's just, it has such a mass adoption it just has such a critical mass that it's so hard for anything to supplant it at this point.
Have you had to learn new programming languages in the past when changing jobs? Because I've had almost every job that I've changed has been a new language when I went into it.
Not really, because JavaScript and HTML and CSS and, you know, SQL, all that stuff has been around for a while. And because I've been a web programmer the whole time, generally, it's always been some combination of those. I think the only thing that's probably changed is like the frameworks around it. Yeah. Like, you know, I had to like learn Angular. I'd never done that before. you know, MongoDB was a kind of DB system that I'd never used before that I had to learn that at some point. But like, because I've been working with Drupal for so long, it's all on PHP/Symfony, which is a framework around PHP. And so, and this new job I'm going into also does Drupal. And so there's not going to be a change there. I think it's more just the way that the, maybe the company, you know, organizes their code, you know, that's something new, but no, I haven't had to learn languages. Languages I've learned have been on my own for fun.
Let's see. My first job was HTML. Like that was the language I wrote in. I put that in air quotes, even though we've talked about this.
I know,
and the L
I know.
Is language. But it just doesn't feel like a language to me. Perl was my primary thing at my next job when I was doing system administration. It was like Perl and shell scripting. Mm-hmm. Then it was Ada 95, which I had never touched. And then I did a little bit of C++ at that same job. But then my next job was like delving deep into C++. And it was like very like visual C++ and specifically mm-hmm. like it was a very different model. And now TypeScript. Right. It's like as I've changed jobs, it's almost every time the primary language has been different. And I like that because I like learning new programming languages. Sometimes I don't like those programming languages after I've learned them. Ada 95, not my favorite. But sometimes they're really cool. You know? And then, you know, there's languages I actually like writing in, like Python.
Yeah. I mean, do you do any Python at this job?
Very, very little. There are some scripts that already exist in Python. But in general, the language that the side of the business I am on uses is TypeScript. And so that's what I use. Because that means that it's easier to hire people to come in. And, you know, it's easier to jump between projects if you need to. Right. And there's a lot to be said for that. Like, that's good for the company.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at my old job... not necessarily changing languages so much, but just moving from like custom frameworks to existing frameworks that already are out in the wild and have support and people using them and modifying and fixing bugs. That's more important than keeping your custom thing that you wrote 5 years ago just because you know it. But it's better if we switch to something that like millions of people know so that when stuff breaks, you have the, you know, the internet to ask rather than just the one guru who built the thing.
Which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, because we did that at my old job. We definitely had a website that was in a custom framework and then we moved it into Drupal and it was much easier to fix and modify from there on out. I was also thinking about when you change jobs, just the like the non-programmery stuff, like email and chatting and all that kind of stuff. Like that sometimes changes. And like, so at my old job, we were kind of Google everything for email and calendaring. And now at this new job, it looks like it's going to be Outlook 365 stuff. Which
and I just went through exactly the opposite transition of that.
Oh, really?
Last job, all Outlook. It was all Microsoft 365, and now it's all Google, except Slack instead of Teams. Thing.
Yeah. Instead of
Meet, I guess. We use Meet for video chatting, but that's it.
Do you have a preference, or is it just the switching that's annoying, or is it not annoying?
I do not like the Microsoft suite of tools in general, except for Excel. And there's good Excel clones and all of the all of the other things now.
Verse.
But like Google Calendar, much nicer
than
Outlook Calendar, in my opinion. And Gmail has been the best mail client since it came out.
Yeah.
I still have not seen a better one.
The one interesting thing also is that this new job does a lot, does all their open source, they do a lot of open source stuff that's on GitHub, which is
that's
interesting
cool.
Because, at my old job, everything we did repo-wise was in Bitbucket and private. And so going from that to a public GitHub face is interesting. I mean, I'm for it. I like the idea that they do that, but it's just I'm not used to it being so open like that. And also, it's kind of weird because I have, you know, like a public GitHub persona, and with all my projects on it, and I'm like, do I keep using that, or do I create a company specific persona? I don't know. Like, I'm never really sure what to do in that case, because I know there's always the, like, what you do on company time is different than what you do not on company time, and some companies are more strict about that, and I don't really know yet what the policy is, so that's going to be an interesting thing to navigate.
Yeah, that's definitely an area where it's like, see what everyone else at your company is doing and do that. In my experience, like, I am surprised to find that, like, using my GitHub login, my personal one, is the preferred approach to that at my current job. It's like, wow. do it this way.
Interesting.
And then they link it to your company, and it's like, okay. And then there's like, and so it's like you join the organization.
Right. But when you do a code change, like, you're signing that commit with your public GitHub persona and not like the company one?
No, I think it still ends up being signed with, because it's a GitHub Enterprise. So I think it does. I think there's its own thing. It's just like the way it links. Oh, that's what it is. It's like GitHub Enterprise specifically is going to be like the work emails, but we also have a public GitHub side of things. And I think that's where they're like, just use your own and we'll link it in or something. It's confusing to me. We're in the middle of transitioning between Bitbucket and GitHub at the moment.
Oh, wow. That sounds fun.
No.
Yeah, no. No, that was facetious. I've been using GitHub forever. I mean, like, I have a lot of projects up there, and I think this was like the first time that, like, that it's really been like a thing that the company has gone through. Like, I think that's probably more common for private sector kind of jobs where your GitHub can be basically like your resume. If you're a developer, but that's never been the case for me. It's just been where I put stuff that I work on for fun. And, yeah, but also, you know, I try to make it like as professional as it can be without being, you know, dry and boring. You know, I mean, there's like, if I push it up there, I generally try to make it presentable and not just throw garbage up there that like sullies, you know, my persona or whatever. I don't know, but but it's never been under any kind of scrutiny. And this is like the first time that it's like, oh yeah, we actually looked through your GitHub projects and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I mean, it's kind of nice. It's kind of like, oh, hey, I'm not just putting it up there, you know, as a semi sometime tortured artist, you know, putting stuff out there to the public and not getting any feedback generally can be a little demoralizing. So it's kind of interesting to actually have someone comment on something that you put out there. I kind of forget that I'm very public because not many people comment on it. So when that someone does, it's like, oh yeah, I should probably I was talking about testing. I should probably put some tests on that project that they're looking at, so I don't seem like a hypocrite.
Yeah, it's like, I think if you're actively looking for a job, it behooves you to make sure that your GitHub and LinkedIn presences are good, because, yeah, people look at that now. Like, that was not a thing the previous time that I had looked for a job. That wasn't a thing people did. And then this time I was like, they're like, hey, what's your LinkedIn? I was like, I haven't touched that in forever. And thankfully, my friend who runs a resume management job hunting type firm, he, like, helps people get jobs. Like, he helped me out with all that, because I didn't know what I was doing. I hadn't looked for a job in 14 years.
Yeah, it's a different landscape now, for sure. But anyway, I think to kind of wrap up this discussion, because I think we've kind of hit a lot of the major points, that, you know, changing jobs can be exciting, but it can also be, anxiety-inducing, because, you know, the unknown, new people, new projects. That's why, I feel kind of equal parts excited and terrified, because you just don't know. But also, I've just been working in the industry for a while now. Like, I'm not a novice. I'm somewhere between intermediate and expert, I guess, in my field, at least with what I do. But there's always more to learn. There's always more stuff to get into and be humbled by. So, you know, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping to be a little humbled by this, but also as a vector to get better and just improve. Always be improving, I guess. I don't know.
I like that. I have one piece of advice that I always tell people when they start a new job.
Okay.
Especially if they're starting a new job and I'm working with them. Like when they start a new job with me, which is, please ask questions. Like, don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask the dumb questions. Because there is a lot of assumptions that people have baked in over time into the code base, in any code base, in any technical project even. Not even technical. People just get used to doing things a certain way for a reason. And sometimes you're like, well, that's weird. Maybe there must be someone super smart. They did this thing for this reason. And I don't want to seem dumb by asking. No, we ask and they're like, oh, yeah, we don't know. Or, oh, no, there's a reason for that. You know, it's kind of hacky, but we had to do it because X, Y, Z. And you learn so much about things that way. But it's hard when you start a new job because you don't want to look stupid. But I have never thought of anybody as being stupid for asking me a question like that.
So
ask the dumb questions.
And if they have documentation, read it. Because one of the things I did as I was leaving my old job was I tried to update documentation, and any tasks that I had left over that I, you know, got either closed or reassigned to someone else, you know, I tried to leave a little note saying, here's where this is at, so that someone else who, you know, has never looked at this task before at least has a general idea of like what you did and where it's, because just saying that it's like in progress or on hold is not super helpful for someone who's not familiar with the task or the project. And so, you know, I try to think about both my code and my projects and my tasks as like, if not for future you that will look at it and be like, wait, what the heck was this? For someone else who might take over your stuff, you know, leave it in a state that is usable by someone else besides you.
Yeah, I try to write my code in the if I get hit by a bus mentality.
Man, how many people get hit by buses these days? Like, that's got to be... I don't know. That must have gone down way, like, after...
Ever since the PSA that was Mean Girls, we know to avoid getting hit by buses.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mean Girls. Isn't that like a Broadway musical now or something?
Yes, and also then a movie based on that Broadway musical.
Oh my gosh!
The Broadway musical, by the way, fantastic. I've seen it multiple times. I saw it when it was in New York.
So wait. So there's Mean Girls, the movie, the musical, the movie.
Yes, it's pretty good.
Okay,
but the musical's better. Go see the musical.
Okay.
Support live theater.
Yeah, we just watched on Disney Plus Hamilton with our daughter who's 9 years old and loved the heck out of that. So yeah, live theater, good stuff. Completely related to what we're talking about.
Hey, I changed jobs in the theater space around the same time that I changed jobs in my professional space. So well, there you know.
Wow, way to tie it back in, Matt.
You're welcome.
You're a professional. So I believe that wraps up our conversation on job changes. If you're going to be changing jobs soon, good luck. Keep in mind all the wise words of advice that we just said. Feel free to, you know, listen to this episode again and share it with other people if they're going through a job change too.
And if you have tips for people who are starting new jobs, leave them in the comments. Smash that like button.
Yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to listen to other invigorating discussions like this, you can go to hackingthegrepson.com. But until we speak to you again about such matters, we now return you to your regular scheduled lives already in progress.